It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, 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 and welcome to Purple Pants Podcast, episode 115. Listen, and I'm so happy you guys tuned in for this week's episode. Listen, I got a lot to get off my chest. So before I do that, if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We are there. Hit the subscribe button, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. Who Purple Pants Posse, listen, I have a lot to get off my chest in my monologue this week. So listen, I got to tell y'all. So listen, you hear the term going postal. Listen, I almost went postal on the post office. So y'all know my Zaddy calendars, the Bryce Isaiah 2022 Zaddy calendars are out and available. And yes, they go in like hotcakes. So if you haven't got it already, make sure you click the link in my Twitter bio, my Instagram bio, okay, and get it now because they go in like hotcakes. And so I don't have any physical children, but the Zaddy calendars are literally like my pride and joy. I spend so much time curating and making sure that they are so special. I, you know, wrap each one of them. I ship them all out. And this year was no different. I was prepared. I had my supplies ready and I'm like, you know, ready to fill them out. And each order that came in, I fulfilled them very quickly, got them out. And, you know, I'm all like, yes, baby boy, we did it. So, you know, like a couple of weeks go by and I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm not really seeing a lot of people tweet me like, I got the package, baby boy. But I'm thinking like, you know what? Each year is different, you know. And so I have a space that I rent out to, you know, do all my warehousing at, AKA is Mr. Jim House. He has like a space that I use. And so for me, it makes it a lot easier for me to separate, like, you know, where I do the calendar things at, because, you know, just, you know, trying to be more professional. And so a week and a half ago, Mr. Jim had texted me. Now, mind you, I thought he was about to be like, I still want my money for the CDs, you know, the 10 CDs for 99 cents when I was 13 and I ain't never paying back. And so he texted me and was like, I have a package here for you. Come get it. And, you know, throughout the year, sometimes when people order the Zaddy calendars, they sometimes put the wrong address and it gets sent back. I send an email. We get the right address. And, you know, done deal. So he texted that to me like on a Monday and I was like, okay, I'll stop by sometime and get it. So I went for a run on Sunday and this was like not this Sunday that passed, like the last Sunday that passed. So I was like, okay, I texted him. I was like, hey, Mr. Jim, first of all, it cracked me up that, Mr. Jim texts, because he old school. So he don't really text. So anytime that I be texting with him, I always find it hilarious. So I texted him. I said, hey, Mr. Jim, are you home? I'll stop by. Mr. Jim was like, sure. So I also feel so bad for Mr. Jim because I was like, so rude, not rude to him, but so Bryce, just shut up and tell the story. So I get to Mr. Jim's house and I see a bin, like a full bin. And it is filled to capacity with my calendars. And I immediately am like, what? And so Mr. Jim's like, yeah, they dropped it off the other day and I called you. And so I'm like scrolling through the calendar, like, what? Why are all of these calendars here? I sent these out a month ago. And they like had, and they put like the label on top of like the postage to where the address is. And like they literally handwrite postage due. I'm like, postage due? So I didn't even really get to like kiki with Mr. Jim. I didn't took the package back to my house and I'm like so confused. And so I'm like, you know what? Let me go to the post office. So it's Sunday. I can't go. So the next day is Monday. I get up early. Okay. Cause I'm still got to work. I go to the post office and, you know, I see people outside and I'm like, why aren't people inside? So I roll down my window because, listen, I wasn't trying to get out to my car. And I'm like, is the post office open? And some lady was like, it's Columbus Day. I was like, ugh. So I had to wait to the next day. So I finally go to the post office and I wait in line. I get this young lady who was not professional. And I'm like, hi, how are you? My name's Bryce. I mailed these calendars out and they're all getting returned. And so the lady was like, because no postage is on it. I'm like, no, sweetie, ma'am. I'm at this point, first of all, I'm like, sis, what's the attitude for? I ain't do nothing to you. So she's like, the postage is due. I'm like, okay, ma'am, I've read that. You know, you put the sticker covering up, you know, the label. So how am I supposed to know who is this for? And I'm asking her again. And she was like, it's not the right postage. I'm like, excuse me, miss. Now, at this point, Spicy Brycey is out. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. I'm not sure who you're talking to, but I'm here for clarification. But I said, you know what? 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. And listen, I just had to take myself and I had to Google another post office because I was like, you know what? Her spirit ain't right. And Spicy Brycey about to turn it out. So I drive another 10 minutes to another post office. Okay. And I get this nice lady named Tiffany. So nice. First of all, it's a long behind line. What's your life? What y'all be doing in the post office? Okay, like it was such a log line. And mind you, I'm like, I got to get back to work. Like, you know, I logged in, but like, I thought it was going to be like a 5-minute thing. So I wait, I'm listening to Tiffany talk to everyone that's in front of me. She's so nice. And I get to Tiffany and I'm like, how you doing, Tiffany? I just came from another post office. Okay, they almost had me going postal. And she was like, oh, don't say that in here. And I was like, I sell these calendars and I ship them out and I'm just so confused. And she's like, oh, and she immediately looks at it and is able to tell me what the issue is. Now let me tell y'all. So like the last 2 years that I've like sold the calendars, you know, people have always said like, oh my God, the postage is so high. And so I've like always been trying to figure out like, why is the postage so high? So this year I bought an actual scale and weighed my packages like out. So like literally I'm not like estimating. I'm literally putting it down to the ounces. And so, because it's weighed to the ounces, when it calculates the shipping, it calculates it for first class mail. And so first class mail was technically like a stamp. And so I'm like, okay. And I was explaining to her like, well, it calculates it to the exact thing. And you know, I'm not sure why they're being returned. So the lady Tiffany was like, baby, it's because you're wrapping your packaging. I'm like, no, but I weighed the packaging too. And she's like, no, you are like the packaging has bubble package. I'm like, yeah, that's to protect the calendars. I'm like, to protect the zaddies, girl. Tiffany, you got to protect the zaddies. And she's like, you know, with the postal service, since it has bubble wrapping, they automatically consider it priority mail and priority mail starts at $4. And so I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I supposed to do at this point? So she was like, all you have to do is just get regular, like packaging, like a manila envelope and put it in there and you'll be fine. So baby, I get back home. I'm like, thank you, Tiff. First of all, that's all the lady had to do at the first post office. Listen, okay, because she done brought Spicy Brycey out on a Tuesday. And normally he don't come out till at least a Friday or a Thursday. So I immediately went to Staples. I got manila envelopes. And at this point, I'm back at work. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot focus. I had to take a half day because I'm like, these calendars mean so much to me. And these people have ordered these calendars and they are expecting them. I cannot like wait another day. So Purple Pants Posse, I literally took the day off to reprint. And mind you, the post office, and first of all, I feel like the lady at the first post office, I feel like, and that's my main post office, I feel like she's the one that got the packages and put the stickers on it, okay? Because that's why she's being so nasty. So I had to like figure out in my computer which package was which. And then after a while, it was an easy method because listen, the labeling, it had a number at the bottom. And then if I type it into my system, it populates the thing. So I literally reprinted And it was literally about 40, 50 calendars. Repackaged them and sent them out. And I'm just telling y'all this story because literally I appreciate everyone that supports me and I try to do my best to get it out in a reasonable time. And so I had to none, you know, beyond my control, they got sent back and I had no idea. And so I got them all sent out and that was Tuesday. And by like Thursday and Friday, I started seeing the tweets. I started seeing the messages. People started DMing me and I am just so happy and so grateful. And I just wanted to say thank you, Purple Pants Posse, and to anyone that ordered a calendar that waited that period of time in limbo and nobody complained. I didn't get an email. And so I just wanted to say thank y'all for that. I so appreciate that. And listen, these are like my children. So I had to vent their story because listen, that first lady at the post office, she was about to catch it. So that was the delay. And I really didn't want to talk about it until I figured it out. And so I figured it out. And so I just want to say thank you so much. And listen, the Zaddy calendar is still available. Okay. We got the packaging together. So listen, they're going like hotcakes. My last thing I wanted to rant about before we start this episode is Love on the Spectrum on Netflix. Season 2 came out about a month ago, and I think I had talked about it last year and how I just loved the show. It is a show that is a dating show essentially on Netflix, and it deals with people on the autism spectrum and what they go through dating. And it is such a wholesome show. I love it so much. And so season 2 is back and I was like slow walking it because, you know, the shows that I enjoy watching, I don't oftentimes like I just binge watch them and then I'm just done with them. So I try to like slow walk them. And me and my friend Sarah are watching and she got done way before me and she was just like, hurry up and watch it. Now, what I love about the show is, again, it deals with people on the spectrum of autism and like how they have to like what it's like dating for them. And I thought season 1 was amazing. My only criticism of it was I wish they had like more LGBTQ representation. And baby, season 2 doesn't disappoint. We've got some LGBTQ representation and I think it's amazing. We've got Michael. He was on season 1. He is hilarious. He is like very straightforward. He likes to dress up. And so we get to see Michael dating again. Then we have a new person that we meet. His name is Jaden. He likes men and women, and we get to see him dating. And then we meet this new couple or this new guy named Ronan, and he goes on a date with this young lady, Katie, and they start dating. And I really love it because a lot of the times we think that we're just so different from everyone else, whether it is that you're on the spectrum, whether you're gay, straight, somewhere in the middle, black, white. But the thing that I love about this show is that like we all deal with the same things dating. And for me, the show, and you watch these characters and they really just want love. They really want to like feel special. And this guy, Ronan, you know, he's got an older brother who's dating and, you know, Ronan, you know, wants to feel love. And, you know, he goes on dates with Katie and, you know, after like the first 2 dates, you know, he likes her, but he doesn't know whether or not if she likes him. And so I say some of the moments I was talking to my sister about it because my sister watches it too. And I was telling her like some moments on the show, I use the term like cringeworthy. And my sister's like, well, what do you mean by that? And so then I was like, I shouldn't use that adjective to describe what I mean. But like some of the moments are like, I literally am like grabbing my pillow because I am like so nervous. And I'm like, I don't know if they should be filming this. Like when they are just nervous to find out what the other person thinks. And then like, you know, sometimes they don't even like each other. And so they go on these dates and then they text and they're like, they don't want to continue texting, but it is such a heartwarming show. And season 1 definitely had your baby boy crying. At the end of season 1, a couple named Shannon or Shani and Jimmy or Shanice, They got engaged, and baby, I was crying. And I don't want to give too much away, but I will say this, spoiler alert, Shanine and Jimmy got married this season. And baby, when I tell y'all, them tears was coming down my eyes, like I wasn't even expecting it. And it's just like, no matter what your disability is, like, love is love. And like, Shanine and Jimmy are so perfect. And it, like, you know, really has me thinking, like, when I'm going to find my Jimmy, when I'm going to find my Shanine. So if you guys have not checked out Love on the Spectrum, do yourself the favor and watch it. It is amazing. Now listen, let's get into this episode. Let me give you the rundown. I know we 15 minutes in, but listen, I had to get that off my chest. Okay. I'm still hot from the post office, and I'm still wanting some love like Jimmy and Shanine. On this week's episode, we got the church announcements. Baby boy Wendell is back, and we are breaking down episode 4. I got my good sis Jatia Hart Taylor, and we are breaking down the Real Housewives of Potomac. We got Freak of the Week. So listen, let's get into these church announcements.
Submitted to the approval of the Georgia Alumni Survivor Society, we bring to you an event that you won't want to miss, featuring myself, the Monster. Next Wednesday, October 27th, join Survivor alumnus Davey, Ron, T-Bird, Sharia, and Rick Devins for the third annual Halloween watch party. Come in your scariest costumes. We'll have games, special guests, and more for an experience like no other. We'll see you there, or else expect a visit from the Monster.
This event will be held at the infamous Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. You must be 21 to enter. Visit any Georgia alumni social media for the link to RSVP. See you there!
Hey, Purple Pants Posse, Audrey Sizemore and cast member of Season 4 of The Penthouse Game, here to tell you about the premiere of Season 4 of The Penthouse coming out this Thursday, October 21st on YouTube. The Penthouse is a social strategy competition bringing in 18 people from across the country to battle it out to become the ultimate VIP. Each round, the top VIP has to rank players all the way down to the basement. If put in the basement, you must pick a player who will either save you or pick power and send your ass packing. The rest of the bottom four will then be subject to a vote. Season 4 has a lot of shocking moments, strategy, and a ton of tears. Again, the premiere is Thursday, October 21st at the Penthouse Game on YouTube. For any and all updates, follow Penthouse Game on Twitter. Y'all are in for a wild ride.
And for the last church announcement this week, you guys asked for it. And listen, the Bryce and Wynn presents The District. We back October 27th. We are going to be in Washington, D.C. for another amazing watch party. So listen, you don't want to miss it. Click the link in my bio or Wendell's bio to get your tickets. And listen, we're going to see you in D.C. Okay. Bryce and Wynn presents The District.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week, okay? Survivor has not been disappointing these last couple of episodes, okay? And we have the one, the hello. Oh, not you doing the Shan elevator music. Okay.
What up, Bryce Isaiah?
I'm like, excuse me, can I do my intro? Jeez Louise. Ooh, listen, okay? You was giving me JD vibes today. Okay, listen. Okay, we are back, Wendell and Bryce. Okay, listen, episode 4 did not disappoint. What you got, baby boy?
Bryce, you're right, man. This episode did not disappoint. I was getting old school Survivor feels from this one.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll get right into it. We start off on the Uwa tribe, the Green tribe, and they're coming home from last week's tribal. And Jeannie is not happy. She's pissed. She's like, you guys do your own food. I'll do my own food. Because they just got Brad out of the game. And that was her boy. And they didn't warn her or anything, obviously, as they shouldn't. But she was not happy about that.
No, then, not,
go not ahead. At all.
No, I'm about to say no. She was hot.
She was pissed. So then Shan decides to drop a little bomb on her. And Shan's like, look, Brad had to steal a vote. He told me. He didn't tell you. So he wasn't all that tight with you anyway. Mm-hmm. Then JD gets mad that Shan didn't tell him that Brad told her about this steal a vote, which is weird because, yeah, talk. Let's
he got a point. He got a point, though. I'm like, I feel like if Shan is like, I don't know. I feel like if information is power, when JD had that steal a vote, that was just information, which is power. The fact that Brad relayed that to Shan and she's not sharing that with JD, who she's saying is in my alliance, I feel like Shan would say last week, that's a little messy.
Okay. All right. Well, as Shan said, that's his stuff. That's not her stuff. So
true.
He's like collateral. So, but I mean, you could look at it either way and I can understand why JD would be upset. Anyway, nonetheless, JD asked for his steal a vote back that he just lent her. We'll get back to that steal vote a little later. But he asks for that back. She gives it to him. What a nice person. And we're on to the reward challenge. So Jeff calls everybody out, explains to everyone that the winner gets a Fijian expert.
Oh.
At like stuff around camp. I thought they were going to have me come out, Bryce.
You mean Tony?
Nope. See, I looked at my bell. I was not going to hit it. We almost saw Tony die on a ladder at Winners at War.
But did he die?
Did he die? No. No, he did not die. Anyway, so the winner gets some kind of Fijian expert back to their camp. The second place gets one fish
to split with everybody. Okay, listen. And if you don't know already, listen, you can keep the fish. Okay.
Hey, these fools are hungry, bro. They haven't gotten any rice.
Of course, I would eat the fish.
Okay. Okay. Yes, you would eat the fish. Okay. Anyway, so on to the challenge. You have to like shoot a ball onto some kind of a
apparatus,
like an apparatus, like a track. And then once the ball is up there rolling down, you have to run through this rope maze and get to the other side and catch the ball before it falls. Then you have to dig something up. And how do they end that? What's at the end of that?
Do they have to make a puzzle? Not a puzzle. So once everybody's on the other side, then do they win?
I don't know. But according to my notes, well, when they're shooting and running through, our boy, the athletic one, the former track star, JD, he shoots it. He gets tripped up. I'm like, man, JD, I want to root for you so bad. But there are some things that you do that make me think that you aren't this athlete that you spoke that you were.
Listen, athletes make mistakes. You get nervous when you're in front of the camera sometimes. Sometimes people have performance issues.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So,
Tiffany did all right this challenge, though.
Yeah, yeah. So at the end of it, the Green Tribe, Uwa lands their balls. Tiffany comes in second, and she lands hers as well. But the whole time we had Heather at the back trying to land that ball at the very beginning part of the challenge, trying to get that ball up there and get through the rope maze the whole time she was there. And Deshaun made it through first for their tribe. Heather was second. She couldn't get through, but she didn't give up.
She did not. And I thought it was amazing to see Danny come through and really kind of embrace Heather and be like, it's all right, it's all right. We all got you. We all got you. And everybody's like clapping like, yes. Like, you didn't give up. You didn't give up. But, okay. So that's Bryce. Spicy Bryce has to say, but it's a reward challenge.
Okay. So... What is, well, okay.
I mean, I'm all here for Heather. Like, you know, she did not give up. But at the end of the day, it's a reward challenge. And the Blue Tribe is the winning tribe, has been thus far. So, I mean, yeah, of course, nobody's going to be mad at her because, like, we're not going home. It's just a reward. And it's a very early on reward. Now, that's Spicy Bryce you're talking. That was the only thing that I just thought of was like, yeah, like, it's not that big of a deal. It'd be something if this was an immunity challenge,
mm-hmm.
But it's a reward challenge. Child, one piece of fish, we good.
I will also say,
and we got Nasir. Nasir been doing everything around, like, you know, so like we're good. But mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. So yeah, the Blue Tribe, they usually win everything. And if they would have put their starters out, you know, if they would have put all the great challenge competitors out, they probably would have won this competition. But it was a reward competition, and I don't think you can sit people out twice in a row. So I think they were strategic with using Heather for this one. And again, she fell short. Jeff was, you know, yelling for her, doing the Jeff encouragement thing. It didn't happen for her. Her team and the other tribes cheered for her and clapped for her. And to see Danny and Deshaun, like, really comfort her. When I was thinking about how Danny was speaking to her, and he was basically saying, like, you gave it your all. You gave 100% of what you had. You didn't let us down. And that made me think about playing sports. Danny, he was a professional football player. He played sports his whole life. So he's won a lot. He's lost a lot. And in going through all these ups and downs, you understand, like, you might take an L, but you know, you keep your head high, you fight, you give your 100%, and you'll play, you'll live to see another day. And I think that's what he saw, and that was what he was trying to convey when he was like, look, you gave it your all, you're part of our team, you didn't let us down, we appreciate you. So when he was giving that speech, I was just like, I was feeling it.
Yeah, I was thinking of the 3 Ds.
What are the 3 Ds?
Dedication.
Oh.
And the 2 other D's.
Dedication. Determination?
Determination.
Driven.
Driven, okay? I mean, they're not necessarily my 3 Ds, but that's what I was thinking about when Danny and Deshaun were comforting her. I was like, I literally was hearing Deshaun's dad, what about the 3 Ds? Like, was popping into my head.
Don't forget them 3 Ds.
Okay.
All right, so we get to the Yasa tribe, the yellow tribe. They're feeling good. They just won their fish. So as soon as the show comes back from this commercial, you hear Evie saying, previously on Survivor, Yasa suffers a devastating series of losses, but with the core remaining 4, they're on a winning streak. First of all, y'all came in second. But
listen, we're going to let Evie be great because you, of all people, know it only takes that one win, or it only takes that one time not to be feeling like you're the loser. Sometimes that's the momentum you need to going into the next challenge.
Right, right. I like how they edited clips of them into her saying that. So this is a cool editing. They're doing a lot of cool stuff with editing this season. And so they had her saying that, and they were kind of clipping to clips of them kind of losing and then them starting to win. So the editing of this season, I'm enjoying it. Then we have our girl who is a fan favorite, Tiffany. Yes. She kind of goes in her confessional and jokingly says, we won because I'm kicking some ass. And as she said, she's just joking. They're working as a team. But truth be told, she's playing hard, and she was a big reason why they won.
Yes, Tiffany was. She also was a big reason why they lost.
Ooh.
But listen, we stand Queen Tiffany here because either way, she is great entertainment. So I really do love to see Tiffany. And she has a very strong personality. So whether you agree with her or not, she's definitely going to be one that I feel like can sway votes.
Oh, that's for sure. I'm loving watching her. She brings something to the table. What I love about this cast, what I was thinking about, everybody has somebody to root for. It's like we really see with me, I have a few people that I'm like, man, I really want them to win. There are a lot of people that really stand Tiffany. There are a lot of people that stand Ricard. Like there are a lot of people that stand Shan. Everyone, this cast is so, it's such a wide variety that everyone really has somebody to cheer for.
No, definitely. And I love it because I have people that I cheer for. One episode, next episode, I got people that I'm ready to cuss out with love. And on this episode, I got some people that I need to cuss out with love.
Ooh, we'll get to that.
You don't know who I want to cuss out,
but I'm sure we will get to it.
Okay. Hold on, wait. Let me see if I can twerk to that.
No, let's not.
Okay,
I'm out of here. Okay. We're still on the Yasa tribe. They get to eat their fish. They then they spot some little. What are they? Little
turtles
migrating to the water.
Listen, y'all know I'm a turtle fan. You first of all, this is what I wanted to ask you. Friend check. What's the name of my turtle, Wendell?
Her name is Kimmy.
Okay. See? All right. So one thing, and then I'll let you continue. I love to see the turtles, but listen, y'all know when I watch Survivor, I'm not a fan of the chickens. I'm not, listen, because it pisses me off. Like, these turtles got more screen time than I ever got in Kageyama.
They're probably better players in Survivor.
Don't do that. Okay. Continue with the Rekis app.
Okay. So We get the shot of these turtles heading to the water. We see one turtle, he kind of falls in a hole, but he fights his way back. And they analogize that to their tribe fighting their way back. And when I see this turtle, this turtle scene, I think of our buddy Dr. Mike.
Oh.
Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, the man, the myth, the legend. He had a scene in his season where he was caught in the background tripping. And everyone's like, what is this guy doing? It's weird. It's Dr. Mike. He's weird. But in actuality, he told me that they saw turtles heading to the water and that production told them that they can't touch them. They can't touch them to help them or whatever. And they said they saw a lot of these turtles dying. Mm. And so what Dr. Mike was doing in tripping into the water, he actually picked them up and he was bringing them. And when he was, I guess, on camera, he tripped and kind of like toss them into the water so they can make it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, Dr. Mike.
Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Mike. He's a great guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was that. They have that turtle scene. Then we flash over to the green team. This is just a very interesting tribe, and they won. So they won this Fijian man by the name of Nathan. And this guy gets to the island. He starts running up and down the coconut trees, pulling down coconuts, catching fish, frying up the fish, showing them how, like, what to dip it in and everything. This guy is what every tribe needs in Survivor.
He was killing it.
He was killing it. Bryce, do you need a Nathan?
I'll take that as a yes.
But yeah, so he catches lots of fish. And then Ricard says, Jeannie is the one that was providing for us and whatnot, but she was just yelling at us 24 hours ago. And we're now learning how to provide and catch things for ourselves.
Ooh.
We might not need her.
Ooh. Now, this is what I will say to Jeannie's comment about like being a provider at camp. When I went out to play Survivor, there was the season in which Ceree was on that they broke the people up in by ages. And Ceree felt like she was on the wrong tribe. And I remember one of the first things that she did that feel like she fit in. Like, I remember she was like cleaning the fish, like she was about to cook. And I remember I took that on to Kageyan with me. I was like, you know what? I want to make sure that I am a very needed or important at camp. Like, you know, I built 80% of our shelter. I was always doing water runs for people. I called it Cousin Bryce's rice because I cooked the rice all the time that I was there. And I just cautioned people like Jeannie, because the lesson that I learned is, child, they kept a Morgan and Alexis and a Jeffra over me who didn't do anything at camp. So it's just like, sometimes I think that that thinking might be, I don't want to use the word inundated, but I think that old school think that's an old school thinking of survivor. And I think that, you don't need to do all of that stuff to stay in the game clearly. But that's just my two cents on that.
You're right about that, because we know you did not stay the game long.
Oh. They got me out of there.
Out of there. 2 days in.
Don't stop telling people that, okay? I was out there for 11 days.
Okay, let's move on. We get to the Blue Leevu tribe, and you see Deshaun and Erica on a boat. She's talking to him, and she's saying that those two are kind of the only ones really thinking. And then we see Danny and Sydney on the boat too. She also says she's ready. Well, this is kind of before Danny and Sydney are on the boat. She says that she's ready to turn it up and start voting people out. She's a lion dressed as a lamb, and she's kind of ready to go for Sydney.
So now, first of all, I was loving to getting to see her. I feel like I spoke about her last week. I felt like she was getting the purple edit. And so I just like got confused because, like, you know, there are so many people I feel like that can relate to her in the sense of like they're quiet. Like, you know, they like to observe things. They like to, you know what's going on. So I just was a little bit shocked at Deshaun's perception or reception to Erica. Now, I also feel like because this is the edit that we are getting and we know that we are purposely not seeing everything, it's just like Sydney is really close. Like, she must be closer to these boys than we see. And I don't know, but it really was bothering me. And I'll let you like describe everything else that happened. But I was really upset at Deshaun for like looking at Erica as more of a threat than to come in as an ally. Because I'm like, I don't get what, like, you're literally almost pushing Erica out. And you're, for me, I feel like because what these episodes have been doing a lot is foreshadowing. And it's like, are y'all foreshadowing an Erica and Nasir alliance? Because I'm confused right now.
That's a good question. Basically, Erica saw Sydney. Sydney couldn't make fire at that time. And Nasir was looking over her, and it looked like Sydney was upset, storms away. She tells Deshaun that Sydney is very reactive and impulsive and emotional, and Deshaun's kind of just hearing it, but and acting like he's with her, kind of, sort of. And Erica's like, would you take a shot at Sid? Then Deshaun goes and he tells Sid. So, yeah, we're not seeing everything like you said. And what's strange is Sydney, he basically is like, hey, you never guess who's trying to get you. And Sydney starts guessing, and she literally would never guess because Erica is like the last person that she guesses.
Right.
So, yeah. So, and we haven't seen a lot of this tribe because they just win and there's nothing. It's like they win. So we have to see what's going on with the scrambling tribes.
But very typical in Survivor that these strong tribes are never really the strong, like, they are physically strong, but they're never, like, structurally strong, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I was on Navidi, and we were physically strong, but we had a lot of cracks, to say the least.
Right.
So, moving along a little bit, Sydney then talks about it, and I'm just going to say we haven't seen too much from her, but I love her confessionals. She was in this confessional. She was laid back, kind of like dry. She said, I'm savvy as hell. I'm good looking. I'm a physical threat. And then she's like, what is it about me? I think they just hate me. They hate me because they ain't me.
Okay. Listen, I was like, okay, come on, Chris Noble. What's going on over here?
They probably get along nicely. Yeah, she's just in that confessional. She was just like laid back, poised. It was dry, but it was funny and on point. So I enjoyed hearing that. And so we got to see a little of Sid and some foreshadowing. Hey, Mace, we saw earlier cracks with our boy Nasir. We'll see what happens now with the Erica, the Sydney thing. But it's good to see Danny and Deshaun. It seems like they're in a good place.
They're solid. Yes. But before they are even talks of going to the next challenge, you know, the alliance that is Sydney, Deshaun and Danny are really considering throwing the challenge.
Yes.
And for me, I'm just like, so y'all let Nasir talk about y'all. But when it comes to Erica, mm-hmm. now y'all are wagering to throw a challenge for her. Listen, Deshaun and Danny, what y'all doing? Like, but again, is there something that I just am not seeing? Because yes. I'm like, I just feel like how it is because she's quiet and she's kept to herself. And now that she feels comfortable enough to talk to you, you are perceiving that as a threat. I would think that, you know, the type of player Deshaun is that like, why don't you play both sides?
That would be good. Deshaun, though, he's a very smart person. He's like we know, he's a med student, and I think Erica started showing him how smart she was, and I don't know, you know.
But when you with somebody, so I don't know, I feel like Deshaun and Sid and Dan have a strong enough alliance at this point, so it's like anybody else to them is like outsiders, I guess. But I would want another smart person to be in it with me as well.
Yeah. I see both sides. So yeah, we have some foreshadowing that they might throw a challenge, and then we go to commercial. And I don't know if you watched the commercial, Bryce, but I saw a familiar face. We had a Boston Rob cameo. He was giving a Tough as Nails commercial.
Oh,
did you see that?
I didn't. I was wetting my whistle.
Oh my goodness, you're drunk. Well, anyway, it was cool to see Boston Rob's face up there. It looked like he was taking a selfie camera and just, you know, giving a shout out, making sure people watch Tough as Nails, which is a good show. But anyway, we get to the next, through the commercial, and we get to the challenge.
Oh.
It starts in the water, where you got to dive in and you got to grab a bunch of pieces off of different platforms. And we clearly see Danny and Deshaun trying to kind of throw the challenge. And it's hilarious because, and this is another cool thing with the editing, they start giving you confessionals during the challenge. So we're cutting to confessionals, them talking about the challenge while it's actually happening. Deshaun says he's moving at a snail's pace. He has the puzzles, but he's like literally just taking his time through the water. And this tribe is still in first place. They're still beating these other tribes.
First of all, you can't throw a challenge with Nasir on your team, okay?
He will pick it up. Whatever you try to throw, he's picking up.
Okay.
Yeah, so they, and Hot Mess Yasa. I mentioned them before. Hot Mess Yasa. We got Evie swimming the wrong way. They're in last place. It's not ideal for them. But you have the blue tribe. Deshaun, they have to like untie knots. Deshaun, they're so far ahead that Deshaun is retying knots. You have to take, these pieces of wood and like push them through this conduit thing. And you kind of have to muscle them through. And Danny says he's trying to take his time with it. Nasir's like, 1, 2, 3. Nasir is like really pushing it through. These guys cannot throw. You can't throw a challenge with Nasir on the tribe. It's impossible.
Period. Okay. Baby boy was out there.
Yep. And then they have to look for a key. They're like taking their time, lunchboxing, waiting, looking. Erica finds the key. They cannot sabotage this thing. So. They get to the final stage where you have to land a ring. You have to toss it and land it on this three pronged thing a few feet away, maybe like 10 feet away. And Deshaun is again not landing anything. He's, you know, trying to throw it. And because he just wants to go to tribal.
Okay.
And who tags him out?
Listen, he missed one of the balls. Nasir went and got the ball and tagged himself in.
Tagged himself right in. And Nasir's just, I think he like sunk his first one and another, whatever. But the tribe, the Yasa tribe actually wins. They're the yellow tribe. Kudos to them.
Yes.
And then it's, go ahead.
Wait, come. Okay, Yellow Tribe Xander, listen, come on. You know I'm the president of the Xander Fan Club. Yep. So listen, another solid episode for Zaddy Zand, okay? We didn't get to see much of him, but listen, he was landing them and doing what needed to be done. He understood the assignment. So listen, the president of the Xander Fan Club, I just have to, you know, give my stats on Zaddy Zand.
Shout out to our boy Xander. Solid, solid individual. So now it's a showdown. Mm. JD and Nasir. Mm. Tossing these rings. Nobody can make them.
And mind you, it's like that it be the editing in these moments for me. Because it's like, you know, it's Jeff like, JD could win it right here. And then, you know, the music changes up. And I'm like, yes, JD. And then he misses. Then it's Nasir. Then like I'm like, listen.
Yes.
Just tell me who win.
Right. They have like the beauty shots and everything, like JD's hair's in the wind. He's like launching it. No. You have Nasir launching it. No. You have JD launching it and the music is like right there. You hear him say, money. Mm. No. And then Nasir wins it. So when I was watching JD launch these, he was like jumping off of it. I was thinking about the game Pong. You played Pong before, right? You stand on either end of the table. You have a couple cups. You got to throw a ping pong ball into the cup. If you make it in the cup, the other person has to drink it.
You mean beer pong?
Yes.
Not, they don't just call it Pong. I'm like, Pong? Beer pong. Yes, I played beer pong before, Wendell. I've never played Pong before.
Remind me to punch you in your forehead next time I see you.
No.
So anyway, it reminded me.
You play Pong?
When you're playing.
What?
When may I finish? Remix. Wait a minute. So as I was saying, if you're playing Pong,
beer.
If you're playing Pong,
beer.
If you're playing this game, if you're playing this game that I'm referring to that Bryce has never played before,
it's not called Pong.
All right, fine. If you're playing beer pong,
thank you.
If you're playing beer pong, you can't put your elbow over the table.
Correct.
That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. But in JD's case, he was putting his whole arm across the table because he was like jumping off, and it was almost like he was trying to do his finger rolls again. And they weren't going in. But anyway, on his last one, he calls money. He misses it. Nasir sinks it. So JD's tribe is not so happy. And we get a classic Shan confessional. Shan says, JD thinks he's Allen Iverson out there. He's yelling money when he should be yelling tribal, because that's where we're going. She's the greatest, man. She's the greatest.
She is. But can we also just have a appreciation for my ninth grade lust that I had for AI? Okay. Ooh, the number three with them braid, the cornrows to the back. Okay. Listen, I know it's some AI fans out there. Whew. Baby.
You done.
I mean, listen, I would have liked to play Pong.
He ain't even your type.
With AI. First of all, I don't have a type, but let's just continue. But I just wanted a number three AI. Did you ever have the Iversons?
No.
Oh, you never had the Reebok Iversons?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
No, did you?
No, my brothers did. And I wore them one time and then I like cuffed them and I got their picture.
And you got in trouble.
I got beat up by my brother. But go ahead.
That doesn't surprise me.
Don't play.
Okay, so Uwa loses. We get back to the Uwa tribe. Jeannie tells JD she wants to roll the dice.
Okay. What? Jeannie was done. Jeannie said, listen, I ain't got time for y'all. I'm just going to roll the dice.
Yeah. She truly believes she's getting voted out. She asks for JD to vote for Ricard. Jeannie's scared. JD starts, I guess, lying to her. He says that, he's trying to make her feel like he's as scared and that he's not working with Shan and Ricard. And
so I guess it is interesting with the roll of the dice, though, is I guess when the tribes are larger, it doesn't really I guess it wouldn't affect. But it really, you really get to see when the tribes get to be a little shorter, how that roll of the die really could come into effect and how it really kind of like shook things up a little bit.
Yeah, it really does, because the numbers are low. You're willing to offer up your vote to have a 1 in 6 chance at safety. That's scary. So, and with this in mind, Shan comes up with a plan.
Ooh,
she knows that Jeannie could use her die. She also knows that her boy, her little brother JD, has this extra vote, and Shan starts thinking, man, what if Jeannie and JD get together and they creatively use this extra vote? Then they can pick Ricard or Shan and take them out.
Mm-hmm. And listen, baby, y'all know the Emmys and the Oscars is coming up. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to submit episode 4 of season 41 of Survivor to the Emmys, because leading female performance in a drama or reality series has to go to Queen Shan, okay?
Queen Shan in the building. She tells JD that she thinks he's working to blindside her. And you could kind of see on his face, like, he's really, he's like, what do you mean? Because he's really with her.
Have you ever seen Top Model? And do you know that clip of Tyra Banks when she is yelling at a model? I believe the model's name was Tiffany.
No.
We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. JD, I swore on this very podcast last week, I was screaming, saying, do you not remember Eric Reichenbach? Okay? You would not only give your steal a vote one time, you gave it twice, baby boy.
Baby. Fool me once.
Okay, shame on you.
So, yeah. So Shan sits with JD and she says, you know what, JD? I think that you're working to blindside me. Why don't you leave that steal a vote on the island? She starts with a more more somewhat reasonable request than just, hey, give me the steal a vote again. So she says, leave it on the island. And he says, oh, you know, that would be foolish. You'd be a fool to leave it. You never know what might happen at tribal. So she's like, all right, you know, just give it to me and, you know, I'll give it back to you when we come back. And I guess he thinks that's a better idea. So for a second time, he hands his extra vote to Shan.
And what I loved about that conversation, though, was she really put the juice on. Like, she was worried that she was going home, although she probably kind of sort of was. But, you know, just for her to be able, that type of power, okay, that, listen, I it's only episode 4, so it's hard for me to call it, but I am definitely, I'm giving Shan a final 6 at this point, because to be able to make a move like that, and to be able to off your little brother like that, ooh, Jesus.
I'm not giving her final 6, because we've gotten a lot of Shan content.
True.
And Shan is a two-headed monster with Ricard.
True.
And I'd love to see these two navigate the game as far as they can. I question how far they will go. And Ricard, man, I know Ricard, if they're go, like, he's gonna get her.
Okay. Oh. How just, you know, she might get him before he get her, but I don't even want them to get each other. I want them to stick it out and go as far as you can. But
okay.
for me, continue with the tribal, I just knew that it was going to be Jeannie going home today.
Okay, so we're at tribal. So, yeah, they sit down and Jeannie is down. Like, she knows she's going home, Bryce. Jeff asks her a question. She's really feeling defeated, looking defeated. And, there was a quote that, you know, they keep saying that the tribe is very close, and Jeannie gets some emotional content and says she's going to miss, you know, being so close to these people.
She's going to miss them. Although she mad at them.
Right.
The one thing she's going to miss is them.
Shan says, and when she said this, I thought about you, Bryce. Shan says they're so close. They are farting and burping on each other. If Bryce Isaiah is not the fartiest person
I
know.
That's a lie. First of all, that's a lie.
So what happens
fart.
When you get nervous?
I
you toot a little bit. You toot a little bit. What happened in South Africa? Every time, we're competing on Survivor South Africa, out in the bush, Battle of the Bush, and all you hear is toot.
That's not true.
Bitch, I'm nervous. I was nervous. We're on a delivery trip, and all you hear is toot, and his window goes down. I was nervous in the back seat.
Back to tribal, okay? Because you're making me a little.
I'm
nervous.
Just saying. I say. Oh, good thing. I'm not near you right now because I know you tooting up a storm over there.
Don't
so back to tribal, and Jeannie, you know, she says, I know it's going to be 3-1, and they're just doing things. They were doing things all day to just appease me. JD says something to kind of like, I guess. So he kind of speaks to her, but also to Shan. Make sure we all do what we said we were going to do. He looks over at Shan and gives the JD wink. This wink will live in history. I guarantee you it's going to live in Survivor history. I can't really wink, Bryce. I think you need talent to wink. Can you wink?
I can wank. No, I can wink. I can wink. I thought wink would sound better with a little twang, but no. I didn't realize
no.
It would be like
no.
Wank. No.
No. No.
No, I can wink.
You can wink with one eye? You can wink with one eye.
Yes.
Try it right now.
I am.
You're probably contorting your whole face.
I'm not.
Yes, you
are. I can wink very seductively, okay? I be winking at people when I'm in the club, okay? Wink.
So, I'm sure you do. So, he says, make sure we all do what we said we were going to do. Looks and winks at Shan. What do you think he was thinking when he was winking at Shan? Because he said, make sure we all do what we said we're going to do.
I don't know, but he confused Jeff because Jeff was like, that's a strong statement right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if you're making that strong statement and you're looking and winking at Shan, maybe you think that Shan is thinking about doing something to you.
Right. Yeah, because I'm sure in that tribal, you not having the extra vote and you, I don't know. I was confused by that. Like, I don't know if that was just saying like, why would you say that if you are already trusting them to, like, yeah, I don't know. Baby boy had a, between that and the side ponytail that JD was rocking. Okay. First of all, I live for a lock ponytail or when men wear their hair up and like, listen, I live for all of that. So I was loving the side ponytail from JD. But yeah, that statement confused me because it's like, if I'm really with you, what is understood don't need to be explained or what is, you right. know, what is, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then also to be that overt and tribal, like, I don't like.
I was talking to Joey. I was texting him about it. And Joey said, like, he said something like, man, JD made a foolish move or something like that. And I said to him, I was like, Joey, I'm glad I got on when I was 33.
Oh,
because Bryce,
I was on when I was
33.
Keeping up 23.
Bryce, 33.
23.
Bryce, you were on season 4.
Okay.
In 2000.
I still was young. You keep saying that. Listen, you're older than Sharia, and Sharia was on South China. Like,
Bryce. So
your math doesn't make sense. But anyway, continue with Joey said.
Bryce, you were on the show before Probst. So yeah, what so Joey I was say? Telling Joey, I'm just like, man, JD is young, wide-eyed, youthful, exuberant. He's living out this dream. He loves Survivor, and he just shot out of a cannonball and was swinging for the fences. And with me going on more than 10 years older than JD when I played, I'd gotten that energy out of me. I'd seen enough to know that, you know, I don't need to swing for the fences just yet. Let me sit back and chill a little bit. JD got out there with his idols who all swung for the fences. And, you know, like speaking about Wu and Malcolm and Ozzy, and he just wanted to make these big Survivor moments and be known, which he will be known, and get out there and shoot the buckets and yell out money and do these things. He wanted these big Survivor moments, comes into Tribal, super swaggy hair. His locks were, you know, in the buff to the side, earrings hanging, cracking jokes in Tribal, feeling himself, but winking at Shan. And it's like, man, these are the times when you get voted out. Like when you're feeling yourself like that, these are the times you got to be careful. But I'll also say, seeing JD, because he had them smiling and laughing a little bit in Tribal, when I think about the player that JD was, I think that was almost like a fitting exit for him, because people were still smiling and they all said they loved you to him when they voted him out. So we'll get to that. But I just seeing him come in so swaggy, I'm just like, man, this could be your night. But I thought it was going to be Jeannie.
You and me both.
Right. Because also weeks prior, Shan gave him that look that I was speaking about prior, like, man, I got you. We're voting together. And, you know, fast forward a few weeks and now she is stabbing him in the back. It was 3 votes for JD, 1 vote for Jeannie. And it was he got blindsided.
Yeah.
And when he got up, he said, any particular reason? Mm. Whew. And they just said, we love you, JD. Mm-mm-mm. Whew.
It's a lot. But yeah, like I feel like JD was a great character, like you said, and he played a big game. And sometimes when you play big, you lose big, but you will forever be remembered. And like, yeah, Shan got you good. So it's like, I feel like the one thing that I can, like, that I know that I can respect about JD is that I know him watching back. He has to look at Shan and Ricard and be like, dang, they got me good. Like, you know, I know that his love of the game has to respect it. I haven't listened to any of his interviews yet, so I'm dying to. But I wanted to see him go farther. But you're right, I think that he needed the humble pie, and unfortunately it came in the form of his torch being snubbed. But
yeah,
I love the introducing of this type of player, this archetype of this young, energetic black boy joy on Survivor. I'm one that is personally here for it.
I'm here for it too. It was great to see him play. I'd love to see him back. I think he will tweak his game a little bit. I think he learned a lot out there. I too want to see his exit press. I want to hear it. But I will say another takeaway of mine is it's amazing how things can turn around. 'Cause when we walked into this episode, Jeannie was mad.
She was done.
She was done. She was out of it. And that was kind of how I was feeling when, in I think it was episode 3 or 4, me and Dom were blindsided. Our ally Morgan got voted out. When we got back to camp, I was feeling like just the bottom of the barrel. I was feeling defeated. But you got to know that things change. And some things change overnight. Things change in a matter of hours on Survivor. Mm. So she came so mad at the beginning of the episode. By the end of the episode, I'm sure she felt super tight with Shan and Ricard because they got their boy JD out of there and held Jeannie. Mm.
I mean, I don't know if that is the feeling of Genie, because I also, you can also look at it like, child, y'all just got like you. I don't know if necessarily, I mean, of course she's going to be grateful that they kept her, but I don't know if that like solidifies her with them, if that makes sense.
I hear you on that.
So that's all I'm saying. But no doubt this episode, I was definitely screaming. I loved her. I did not know what was going on again. It was a great episode. I felt like I wanted more, and I love it when Survivor leaves me with wanting more.
I agree. And to those people that, you know, complained about a lot of advantages and everything, this was one of those episodes where we didn't hear a lot of that. And it seemed like there was an overwhelmingly positive response. People loved seeing relationships work and things happen, interpersonal relationships, as opposed to, you know, letting the advantages and whatnot drive the episode. So right. For those people, they enjoyed it. I enjoy a lot of Survivor episodes, whether it's advantages or not, but this is one of those episodes, those defining episodes, I think, one of those like great episodes.
No, for sure. And the previews for next week look like it's getting messy, and I'm here for it. Well, all right, guys, you will catch us next week. Bryce and Wynn breaking down another episode. Wynn DZ, thank you again for coming back and recapping with us. I mean, listen, maybe we'll see you in DC.
Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping it rolling.
And we are back this week with the Real Housewives of Potomac. We got my girl, my sister. Okay. Jatia Hart. Taylor in the building. What's going on?
Hello. You can just call me Jatia 450K.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Not the Squid Game.
Yes. No, I mean, like, Mia's, like, dropping, I'm aspiring. I want to be, like, Mia
first
450.
First of all, like, why are they hating on her? Like, I feel like it's...
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be Mia 450.
Okay. Listen. Like, I'm here for it. So yes, we got to get through these two Real Housewives of Potomac episodes. But okay, and so listen, y'all know when I talk about my girls, y'all know who my faves is. But I'm not like some of these people that come on my podcast and don't really ever have anything negative to say about their faves. But I do want to say this.
Who may you be alluding to?
You and Jacob Jones.
You never have, what do you ever have to say bad about Giselle or the Green Eyed Bandits? But anyway, we gonna keep going because we ain't got time for this. We gonna side chat. You can all you want to.
So, over the last week, the Real Housewives of Potomac, they filmed the reunion.
So I can't wait to see that. So, I'll tell you, like, the last two episodes we reviewed had me so pissed off. And these two made me want to continue watching because, like, I was ready to turn it off because it was just so negative. And so, they did a good job of sort of redeeming themselves.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. I would go as far to say this is probably one of the best Potomacs, and mind you, as quiet as it's kept, Potomac is the highest rated housewife series currently. But anyway, back to the scene I want to tell y'all. So they filmed the reunion, and you know the Instagram sites that I be following, so they didn't really give any tea. The only tea that we do know is that for a portion of time, Nicki Minaj did, we know she was tweeting about Real Housewives of Potomac, her and Andy were going back and forth, so she was there and did ask some of the girls questions. We do know that she asked all of the ladies very hard questions, and Nicki did say on an Instagram live that she went in with Candace. So I'm excited. You know, I'm not a Nikki fan, but I do want to watch it. And the ladies.
I'm not sure if I'd like.
Yeah, I'm not a Nikki fan. Y'all know who I want to rumble with. OK, but they did release the fashion looks of the housewives. And I have to say, as always, the grand dame, she came for the looks. My second favorite, although I hate to admit it.
Wait, hold on.
I sent you the link in your DM.
No, my point is, can we get through these two episodes?
Good Lord. Just want to spill the tea real quick that the Grand Dame looked amazing. My second favorite was definitely Ascala. Then, reluctantly, it was Wendy. Then it probably was Candace.
What's her name? Fohead. Ashley looked amazing.
Ashley looked great. Then it was Robin. And then my least favorite was Giselle. Giselle's just like, ugh, girl, you didn't bring it.
She never brings it. I don't understand why she don't let somebody else dress her, because she's very pretty.
Listen, and she has her stylist, Cal, who does her hair and does a great job at that. I'm just confused as like to why the fashions aren't, getting it together. However, since we
it's like she didn't read the basics of like what her best feature is and doesn't know how to highlight it.
They say that she's a pretty face and she's one of those girls that just only relies on her face. That's, the criticism that they give her. I don't mind the way that Giselle dresses. But I will say for the reunion girl, girl, you should have brought it. Okay.
Her taste level is low.
It was very much giving like Macy's. It was very much giving like, correct,
Sears. Like Sears. Prom. Like Rainbow.
Girl, I didn't say Sears and I didn't say Rainbow. And first of all, ain't nothing wrong with Rainbow. Okay, listen, because mind you, sometimes I'll be buying my leather jackets out the rainbows. Okay.
I know, but it don't say Rainbow. You may get it from Rainbow, but it don't say Rainbow. Like,
very much so true. Very much so true. Okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with Rainbow. But your stuff shouldn't scream, Rainbow.
I think we left off with the salad being tossed, okay?
This is what happened. You got me all into the fashions. Now I want to talk about the fashions, but we'll go back to the tossed salad.
Listen, I love a good tossed salad every now and then. Candace and Mia. That's not it.
I can't.
Okay, listen, girl, you like a tossed salad too, honey.
Look. I will always sample what's on the table.
Okay, listen, put the croutons in it too. Anyway.
This is what real left. I mean, we're supposed to be talking about the episode, and we're everywhere except the episode. Can I just say that I love the guys here? Like, I love the guys. So I love that Chris Bassett with his brown unit.
Brown.
Right. Ooh. Riz Brown unit is in there sweeping after the fight.
His wife.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We gonna get to her. But I thought it was really nice and really sweet of him to mention Ashley and congratulate Ashley on her new addition to her family and just, make peace. I thought that was great. So.
And I loved Chris's stance on it that, like, listen, you can view on my wife. It don't have nothing to do with me. Like, I'm not in the women's business. I am not Peter, a.k.a. Patricia. You always in the women's business. You acting like a... Okay, the great Nene Leakes.
I don't like how she delivered. I mean, how she delivered was funny, let's be honest. But it's very true that the men have to stay above the fray. I think it's important because then, like, you start, I mean, like, y'all ain't on the show. Y'all ain't on the show, and the show is already ridiculous anyway. Let's be honest. I mean, that's why we watch it.
I think it is great that the men stay above the drama. They rise above all the drama.
They fly above the haters.
But sometimes I do think it is hard when the women are talking about you. I don't know if I could be their husband. I might have to check a lady every now and then. But I thought it was really great that Chris did extend that olive branch. G was still acting a mess, but we get Robin and Giselle show up. Now, I do think that the irony of the story is they had the worst room with no bathroom. Giselle had a broken foot. Robin mentioned that she was on her period and just was not here for it. I do think it is funny that Giselle is like complaining about a bathroom when, girl, an episode and a half ago, you was just saying you wasn't going to invite the ladies in your home to use their bathroom. But I do think there is a difference when you are on a trip. And especially if husbands are involved, I do think that the women should have their own private bathrooms. And, you know, Wendy as the host really could care less because when they brought it to her attention, she was just like, and didn't really say anything. And so I definitely felt like if you are a host and, you know, your female guest that aren't here with their husband and there are other men around, you should probably try to accommodate them. And especially if one has a broken toe.
I totally agree. I think Wendy was very wrong for that. I don't understand. I don't know. The house was okay. I don't know. I feel I kind of agree with the luxury level of the house.
Oh, okay, Mia.
I mean, like, yeah, I didn't want to, but I was like, nah, man. I mean, like, but whatever. We can make it happen. Different people, you know, like different levels. But the bathroom thing was a hot mess. And the fact that, you know, these people are supposed to be your guests and you're not being a gracious host. Yes, and I agree, though. But yeah, Giselle wanted to make people pee in the bushes. So.
But I get that. But also, I get it. But there also is just a difference when people are staying over. Like there, and especially when there are like the opposite sex there, it definitely adds a different layer to it. However, they all got ready to go to dinner. And what I love the most,
I'd have been at the hotel with them.
Listen, we didn't even get there yet. Okay. You know, we love to see Karen and Giselle feud, but we also love to see them kiki. We saw the episode that, you know, when they were tossing the salad and recapping like Wendy, Ashley, and Escala, you know, they were saying tossing the salad and Karen ain't really know what it was. So they had to break it down to Karen. And
first of all, the bus had the best interactions and shenanigans. I thought it was great that they had them in this little tiny bus. So like every seat was taken. I think somebody was on somebody's lap. Again, luxury level. But, you know, I thought that them all being crunched up together really made the interactions come out. You know, we almost saw two penises on the bus ride. Two brown penises almost popped out.
Pop them out. Pop them out.
I really enjoyed the bus ride, but I just love Karen that she drunk dialing, but she don't even know what teabagging is. So
okay. My thing is, okay, this is another podcast for another day. But yeah, so the kiki with
about
the
teabagging?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Because I just be feeling like, I mean, what's the point? But anyway, okay.
That's definitely another podcast.
That's a whole other thing, okay? You should be occupied with a whole nother thing. But anyway, so the kiki with Karen and Giselle about the teabagging, hilarious. So they get to dinner at this restaurant, and it's funny because clearly they are a large group. And there are some single guys behind them, or allegedly single, and they send shots over to the whole table. Everyone's like, oh, my God, thank you. And while they're taking the shots behind Chris and Karen and Mia, we see these like another table of ladies, and they're like, they look upset. And so the cameras kind of pan over and they're like, what about your wives? What about your wives?
OK, that was hilarious. and I know they are in the doghouse.
OK, like, that was bizarre. First of all, why y'all wasn't sitting together? Number one. But I do think it was because probably they had such a large table, the Real Housewives, that they probably couldn't fit another big table back there. And it was interesting because the night seemed to be going well. And then here go Ashley. Ashley, you know, kind of sort of brought up something to the effect to Chris. Basically, I don't even know how the conversation started. Do you know?
No, they were just being messy. And basically, I think they were talking about the husbands and how the husbands were interacting. I think they might have done a toast to the husbands. And I think maybe Chris was saying to Ashley, you know, like, oh, I'm glad we're together. Da, 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 da. And then somehow it got brought up about the men staying out of the fray. That's what it was. And right. I was talking about the men staying out of the fray. And then Ashley said something to the effect of like, oh, yeah, you know, even though we don't get along, it was kind of like the whole rehash of what they said to each other in the kitchen. And then, of course, here come Candace, because your husband a bitch or something like that. And then popped off and it started all.
Well, I do think Ashley was the aggressor because she said something to the effect of Chris, like, Michael doesn't have a problem with you. And then Chris was like, well, it seemed like Michael talk about me every chance that he get. And then Ashley was like, well, it's because your wife. Your wife doesn't, like, you know, da-da-da-da. And then something to the effect of, like, you know, then Candace again going racial, like, you know, slave driver. And Candace is like, I never said that.
No, she was talking about that that Candace basically talks about her husband.
Right.
Like, they were like, okay, girls talk about girls, guys talk about guys, but then your husband, like, you go at my husband and that's not fair. And that's how it all popped off.
Right. So then Ashley and Candace are getting into it, and child, Mia just ain't have enough of Candace, because Mia then turned to Candace and was like, you can't say Ashley's acting out of pocket, because sis, you're acting out of pocket. And then we got into this uncomfortable scene where Candace and Ashley are going back and forth, and her husband Chris tries to kind of really like alleviate the situation and is really like, Candace, let's get up, let's go for a walk, let's get up. He stands up, he tries to pick her up from the table. She's like, I don't want to leave my title, I don't want to leave my title, I don't want to leave my title. And like really puts Chris in this awkward situation where, first of all, girl, this your husband, your manager, you know,
your husbandger,
your husbandger. Okay. Like, girl, you're not even listening to him and you're having him look crazy as hell. So Chris kind of walks up from the table because he's pissed. And mind you, he didn't made a scene. He's been trying to get his wife to leave. It would be crazy for him to kind of sit back down. So he sits back down. He leaves out. Then eventually Candace follows him. They make up. They come back to the table. They eating a food. Robin is looking up hotels. Like, listen, there's one that's 2 miles away, but it's a 2-star. Then there's the Marriott. Okay. That's 30 minutes away. And they're like, okay, we'll figure this out when we get there. So then they all get back on the bus, and child, G is just like, here's the thing. I love G's energy. I think that G is fun, but he is very inappropriate. And like, whether you're drunk or not, whether you don't get out the house or not, and G just like with his sexual innuendos, like there's women on the bus. Like, I like G, but it just is like a bit too much.
I think it definitely is a bit too much. I am happy to see that everybody is kind of taking it in stride and not making too big of a deal of it. Because if you had somebody who, you know, wanted to make a big deal of him licking out his tongue and doing all the other kind of stuff, they totally would be, you know, within their rights to do so. So I'm glad they're just kind of glossing over it and, you know, really sticking with the GVO philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, because, child, he, yeah, he,
because them vibes ain't good, but,
listen,
you know.
I don't know what he wants, Cialis or whatever it is that, listen, keep
well,
it at
home.
Well,
you heard his tirade, okay, how, like, he's strong like bull, and listen, how he ready to show it.
Oh my God. I was like, oh, no.
I was like, how you going to alternate between all this grunting and falling asleep?
Oh, okay, Papa. Listen, the Cialis wore off. Okay, they get back to the house, and Giselle and Robin is over it. And here's the thing, though: they're making this big. Escala and Wendy don't care. Wendy in her room.
Wendy is eating her shrimp and enjoying her vacation. Okay,
they're like, no, don't leave, don't leave. And here's the thing: I feel like. They are, first of all, if you are a guest, a host, and your people want to leave, and so, okay, sit like it's, there's no big deal. So they found a hotel and went to the hotel. And this is the thing that I like, did not like about Karen, because like Karen at any given time is always going to want to take a dig at Giselle. One, it was mostly Robin that wanted to go. And Karen's all like, it's typical, what do you call somebody that wants to, drama queen Giselle, you know, just leaving in the middle of the night. So typical Giselle, like, you know, always want to make a scene. And then Wendy is in her window like, they just wanted to make a scene. They just wanted to. Actually, they really didn't. They left, got in the car and left. If they wanted to make a scene, they would be like, there's no. They would have turned to Tanisha from the Bad Girls Club. I ain't getting no sleep. You ain't getting no pee. I can't go pee. You ain't go pee. Okay, like that would have been a drama queen.
So mad. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, come on, Tanisha, the Bad Girls Club legend.
Yes. So yes. I don't think they were being dramatic. I don't know. I was definitely not Team Wendy on this one. I told you, she's just a hater. My goodness, she is. And I actually agree with Giselle that she is super aggressive. Super aggressive. Ding, 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 ding.
So the next day they're going on a boat. Everyone gets up. First of all, Mia is all like, you know, there's just no help here. Like, no one came to turn our room. We can't, girl, you're all, it's like y'all at an Airbnb with friends. Mia, stop.
I'm team me on that one. I need my turn down, sir.
Girl, at an Airbnb with your family.
Look. I am sure they paid good money for that. You know,
No. It's an Airbnb. Nobody's coming to turn down. Turn down for what?
Why are they staying at an Airbnb? Why they need to get a place the one they was in Williamsburg. Why bring Williamsburg back?
They didn't. Well, maybe they did have a butler in Williamsburg. Now here's another thing I was cracking up. G was like, it ain't no breakfast being made. So G started making breakfast. Somebody came down and was like, oh, you making breakfast for everybody? He said, no. For me and Mia.
I like G on that one. Like, look, it ain't no service, and I am definitely not the butler.
Now,
I mean, he could have been nice and just made it, but he didn't have to.
Because Michael came down, and because you know, Michael is the chef, or no, Chris is the chef, not Michael. Michael ain't come down. Chris is the chef, and they were like, can I ask you guys to do anything? And Wendy was like, yeah, make the eggs. But here's the thing, on a trip like that, for me, my role is listen, you know, baby boy can throw down. I think I've cooked for you before, Jatia. And I love to make a big breakfast. I think that just comes from me being like the youngest brother, and I didn't always get along with my brothers growing up. And I think the one thing that like I could always get them to agree on or to like me is if I while my mom was at work, if I cooked like a big breakfast. So I feel like on trips like this, I love to get up and make breakfast. Whenever we do a family trip and my sister plans it, what I love about I don't know. My sister just she packs food to bring on these trips. Like it'd be so weird. Like why the refrigerator? Like the refrigerator at home. Like my sister don't play. So I always just love that feeling of everyone there and helping yourself. And then, but for me, it's just always making a big breakfast.
I would have been like, hey, you guys, what do you want me? Do you want to get in on this Uber Eats order?
Okay. Now you ain't never lied.
Don't you remember, Bryce? I've ordered Uber Eats for you before, right?
Yes. Girl.
Yeah, breakfast. Nothing was tossed during breakfast, so it was a success.
And then Karen and Ashley decided to call Giselle to see where they were at. And, you know, they're like, Karen was like, you're just so rude. You didn't even say goodbye to anybody. And Giselle was like, we said goodbye. And then she was like, well, did you say goodbye to the host? And Giselle was like, the host hasn't said to me. And of course, Wendy, you lying. I said something. First of all.
Yeah, super oh gosh. Why does everything have to be yelling with you, girl? Just calm down.
And I don't think in that moment Giselle meant Wendy didn't speak to me on the trip. Like when she heard that we were leaving, she didn't say anything. Like that's what I felt she meant. So they're getting ready to go on this boat, which is cute. That is something that I do want to do. I would love a little boat trip with my friends and a little turn up. I'd love a yacht. And so the boat was really uneventful per se. You know, they had food downstairs. Oh, okay. Listen, we can't forget Ray came.
Oh, you know what? He was such a breath of fresh air and they needed it.
He definitely was. Ray is like the Greg Leeks in some ways to this season. He doesn't really hold a candle to a Greg Leeks, but he definitely gives that Greg Leeks energy.
Yes, absolutely. So I was glad to see him. He even, you know, joked around with Giselle and made Giselle laugh. So that was fantastic. A little bit of levity. It was actually a good joke. You know, my husband tell these dad jokes and Ray came with it. It was funny. It was like a little bit of shade, a little bit of funny. So it was perfect. And well, then.
Well, first of all, I think Graham jokes are funny. I feel like you be killing Graham's vibe on the jokes, though. Because anytime Graham be about to tell me a joke, you're like, oh, Bryce doesn't want to hear that joke. They're not funny, Graham.
Because they're not. So, but I did. I love my husband, but he is in full dad joke mode. Like, he got him down. Like, really.
Well, my thing is, like, you don't even give me a chance to laugh. And after you do your tyrant, like, I'd be, like, uncomfortable to laugh. Like, I feel like I have to laugh. But then it's like, you be giving me the death stare, like, it wasn't funny.
You know, I'll give him, some of his jokes are funny, but it's not funny when I've heard them 16 times. But
well, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Next time he tell you a joke, I will look away and give you your opportunity.
Thank you so much.
No problem. So, wait. So, before we go on to the boat thing, I just want to kind of circle back to the whole Mia, and because they start talking about, like, Wendy's reaction, right? And it's Ashley and I forgot the girl name. Not Giselle.
What's Candace?
No, Green Eyed Bandit.
Giselle.
Robin. No, Robin. So it's Ashley and Robin, and she's basically talking about, you know, Wendy's response, and here come creepy Mia.
She's talking to a scholar.
Oh, child, whoever the hell she was talking to. Anyway.
Scholar.
I forget she's there sometimes, so.
Okay. You
know, I'm sorry. And so here we go. She is at the buffet with one ear, you know, at the table. And then here comes Mia just reporting it back totally
so
wrong.
What I thought was so funny was that, like, Robin and Escala were having this conversation. I felt like Escala was asking, like, rather profound things, like, you know, what it is about, like, why you and Wendy don't get along. And then Escala's like, you know, sometimes it makes me feel like I'm the middle because you're the one that brought me to the group. Robin is like, listen, girl, I'm not that type of girl. You could be friends with whoever you want to be friends with. You know, Robin is just like, when I met her last year, like, I felt like we were cool. Everything is like, you know, everything seems to be combative now. So I think maybe I was wrong in assessing the friendship. Now, during that conversation, you see Mia and G come down.
Slinking.
Right. Mia go, like, right to the bathroom. And then the next scene, Mia, it comes upstairs and it's like, so I heard you're not the same person that you are last year.
Oh my gosh. Just so wrong. And this is the second time that she has been, like, totally off.
Right.
Like, what did she say? You were broke at.
Yeah, you a weak bitch.
I was like, first of all, she didn't say weak and she didn't say bitch. I'm like, you just made it so much worse. So that was just kind of comical because it didn't even last. Like, it didn't seem like it lasted very long. Like, girl, bye.
Right. Like, and so Mia was very pressed on, like, Wendy and Robin and Giselle to kind of come to some sort of, like, whatever. And Robin's like, I don't want to go back and forth with somebody, so there's nothing for me to say. And then Wendy's like, when you're an adult and you see who people are, you place them there. And then, like, her and Giselle go back and forth, which is just like, okay. And then so Wendy, like, you trying to be peacemaker. Why don't we peace up you and Candace? Now, as messy as Mia is, I have to give her credit in how like, ready and willing she always is to talk about something, no matter how uncomfortable it is or how repetitive it is. So Mia kind of sort of addresses the low budget comment and basically says, like, you know, if that hurt your feelings, I did not mean to intend it that way. And for me, what I was so shocked was Candace. Candace, yes, apologized.
She doesn't share much, like, really, she did. Usually doesn't. I mean, like, she usually doesn't even get to the part where she can share because she's always popping off.
Right. Or she's giving a half ass apology and, like, coming at you during the apology. But the one thing that I felt was real about Candace was basically, like, she said that the comment that the low budgetness hurt my feelings, and it hurt my feelings because I'm doing this all on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm doing it right. And like, you know, everything, I'm funding everything, AKA Dorothy, but I'm funding everything.
Shout out to Dorothy.
Dot, good old Dot. And so that like, you know, was very humbling. And I felt like, okay, I can get that. And, you know, she's like, to the comment to your mom, like, honestly, like when you said low budget, I just said the first thing that came to my mouth. I know if had I known the issue with your mother or anything like that, I would have never taken it there. And, you know, Mia says, like, you know, she was like, you know, and I appreciate that. But, you know, if we ever fight or are combative, like, come at me, just like, you know, tear me down, but don't tear my family down. So I thought that was rather good. And then that was really it of the episode. Like, it wasn't really much of the juice popping off, except when they were riding back, Ashley was like falling asleep with her mouth open, and G was like, everybody, look at Ashley. And I think Ashley responded like, okay, let me go to sleep. Like, you know, I'm over here. You stay over there. G like, I'll be over here and I'll be in your business. Like, again, like, G, read the room. Like, you're doing too much. Okay.
Yeah. I got nothing. It was over. It was overkill. Like, I want to be on the G wagon, but I can't.
Was just like, he's just too, like, I don't know if he took a Cialis at the end of the boat ride but it was just a lot. But the next episode looks rather interesting, and for me it's like we got to be winding down pretty soon. I feel like we've got two more episodes left until the reunion, because we see that everyone's getting these invitations and everyone doesn't know what's in the invitations. And I'm pretty sure it's probably to Karen's renewal vows. And we know that the renewal of her vows wedding will more than likely be the last episode of the season.
Well, you know, they do like to end on a party, and the Grand Dame always throws the best parties. I mean, so I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see what she has up her sleeve. I like her. I wish she would drunk down me, or at least set up a hotline where we could just have drunk down messages that, you know, she's previously recorded.
Yes.
So I am very interested to see what the next episode holds. I'm glad this was such a positive arc here in these last two, because I was ready to go ahead and Real Housewives of Atlanta this one.
Oh, no.
I don't watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, it's just that show has gone real funky for me. Went real funky for me. So.
Well, they are currently filming The Streets Have Seen Marlo, and one of the new girls from last season filming over the weekend. So I don't know whether or not if Marlo's filming as a friend of the show or as a actual housewife. We don't know. But either way, it's still not enough to get me back. Like Kim Zolciak's daughter said, if it's not a Kim, a Nene, or a Phaedra, what's the point? And listen, I'm with Brielle.
I'm never with Brielle, but I think I agree with the sentiment that she's giving. I don't know. I don't even know who on there, but, you know, I hope they find their way back. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, Cynthia out, Portia out. We know Candy's returning. I know Kenya is returning. And that's really all of, like, the housewives that I know. I don't even know the new housewives. Drew and the other girl. And clearly Marlo is filming, but we don't know in what capacity. So, but again, listen, you can miss me with the Atlanta housewives. The only Real Housewives that I try to keep up with is Potomac, Beverly Hills, New York. And at times, not the OC, because OC didn't lost me, but Salt Lake City.
I think they haven't had good new housewives since they put Kenya and Portia on.
I mean, listen, y'all know how I feel. If it ain't any leaks, it ain't for me. All right. Well, I guess this concludes our Real Housewives of Potomac talk.
Jatina, yes.
You got any tea or anything you want to spill the posse before we
Absolutely. So just want to say, if you are all about reality TV, you should check out the recent Washington Post article that came out. You can see it. It's linked on my Insta and my Twitter, Jatia PhD, and talks about what reality TV owes Black women. And as my good friend Lauren Ashley Beck said, do you have time? Because I have a list. So,
yes,
really. And I'm super excited. I hear you guys are having a party in D.C. Awesome. I think you guys should definitely go. I would if I could, but I live in another city. But who knows? You guys should definitely go. Tell me how it goes. Make me jealous.
Oh,
if you can. But, you know, I am Jatia 450K.
Oh, so should they make you jealous with posts or should they make you jealous in person?
They should make me jealous by attending and being fabulous. And who knows who they might see there?
Oh,
like maybe, maybe just maybe I might make an appearance. You'll have
heard
to see
it first. Well, we'll talk to you. Maybe we'll see you sooner, but we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. We're out.
Bye, purple pants.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And I find it so ironic because in the last week's episode 114, Beware with Amon and me on the Casual Tea, we talked about B2K, the Millennial Tour, and, you know, Amorion and Little Fizz. Little Fizz came on to apologize. And I was telling y'all how I went to the show before COVID. And I was really surprised at how well Bow Wow did. Well, baby, Bow Wow is making headlines this week. So it all started maybe last Friday. It looked like they had the Millennial Tour had an Atlanta stop last Saturday. And so Friday, the Atlanta Arena had tweeted out, you know, this date 21 years ago, Bow Wow was, you know, came to Atlanta. And look, on the same date 21 years, Bow Wow is back bringing Amorion. So Amorion tweeted, actually, I'm bringing Bow Wow, but y'all right. Let's go. See y'all tomorrow. And, you know, okay, little passive aggressive. So then all of a sudden, Bow Wow takes to his Instagram and it's like, might not even do the show tomorrow. I can't deal with the BS. Y'all have no idea. I've been humble this whole time, just showing up and doing what I do. And it's still a problem. Okay. Then he tweeted, okay, this might be my last show. I've had enough. Too much bitching and complaining on this tour. I'm busting cats' ass every night. Every night they try and complain and take something away from me. I give 1,000% and y'all know it. ATL, I hope y'all together because I'm going to bust y'all up for 45 minutes straight. Try me. And so, the Instanets is on fire. And so everyone is thinking that, oh my God, it must be like, you know, Amorion and Bow Wow are beefing. And technically Amorion is headlining. You know, when I went to the show, Bow Wow came out before Amorion, and Amorion's set was longer. Now, this is what I will say. Okay. I enjoy Bow Wow's set a lot longer. So for whatever reason it may be, these all happen like Friday night. So I didn't have to work Sunday or Saturday. And for whatever reason, I'm up at like 4 a.m. Why? I don't know. And I'm scrolling through the Instagram and I see Bow Wow is on live. And so Bow Wow is on Instagram live going off again. And, you know, in the Instagram live, he's essentially saying, like, I love Ashanti. I love Lloyd. I love Amorion. I love Pretty Ricky. Those are all my boys. But he's seeming to be complaining. And I don't know if it is more the promoters or whoever is owning the Millennial Tour, You know, he is really like complaining about like for his after parties. They're telling him he can't wear certain colors. He can't have certain fonts in his flyer. And he's like really annoyed. And he shows up and he says that he gets the biggest crowd response every night. And I can attest to that. 2 years ago, he definitely got the biggest response. Then he starts going into more things about how his set is only 15 minutes. Now, I can't remember back that far from when, you know, he was at the Leo Kor Center in Philadelphia, because you know Baby Boy was wetting his whistle, but I can say Omarion's set was a lot longer, and mind you, because it's Omarion's the headliner. And so then it makes me think back to the tweet that I just read you guys, where Bow Wow says, "Atlanta, I hope y'all ready for 45 minutes. Try me." So I don't know what the drama is, and you know, whether or not it's 15 minutes or 45 minutes. But my whole thing is your check still the same? Okay, Bow Wow, just show up and do what you need to do. But needless to say, the reactions from the fans from the Atlanta show was amazing. They said that it was like, you know, Bow Wow put it down. Okay, he did his 45 minute set. So I don't know whether or not this is all propaganda and maybe just made up drama to drum up more tickets for the Millennial Tour. I don't know. I thought the tickets were doing really well without it. But listen, I'm here for it, because listen, you know, the Millennial Tour is my type of tour. That's my era and my music. So listen, I had to make Bow Wow and Omarion the freak of the week. If you guys have not gone to the Millennial Tour and it's coming to your city, listen, do yourself a favor. Okay. Who else surprised me on the Millennial Tour was the Ying Yang Twins. Ying Yang. But listen, if Bow Wow and Omarion, and listen, the whole Millennial Tour is the freak of the week, that means we have come to an end of another amazing episode. I can't thank you enough for your support and listen, your patience with these zaddy calendars and had your baby boy stressed out. But if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available wherever you get your podcasts from: Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, whatever you listen to. Listen, just type in Purple Pants Podcast and we're there. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a because it's a
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.